Hey, it's Fat Albert. No, it's not. It's Osiris. And I had that new intro. I don't know if it'll come through, but yeah, I decided I would every once in a while throw in some transitional intro exiting sounds. I think I'm gonna keep with that one. I like it a lot. Anyway, it's been a little while. Since the last episode on the AI, and today we're going to kind of go a different way. We'll pull it in all together one of these months with the AI and what I'm going to speak about today, which is dreams, specifically one that I had last night, and explain to you why dreams for me are so prolific. And yeah, it should be quite interesting that you get a new little tidbit of information about me. And you'll understand a lot more if you get that call or that text from me about a dream that I have to tell you about. So, as in for a little bit of new business, the cult's still looking for its ch church or its space. I haven't had luck really finding something that I wanted that we could, that the grants would do and all this. We're still looking for building people. So if you know anybody that's got a building that wants to get out of tax trouble or whatever, let's work something out. We can, but still looking for a building. I've almost moved it down to actually just buying land instead and then building something after that. Right now, the Cook County Land Bank's got some good stuff. So I've been looking at a few different places. Another day, I went and looked at, get this, a funeral home. Yeah, it was an old funeral home that had a fire. I mean, that would be very cultish, right? Like, where's your headquarters at an old funeral home around dead people? Like, I think it'd be funny. But still a little too much residential for me. So the hunt goes on. Other business. 24/7, the new company that we started, like I told everybody, I believe we got the subcontracted Chipotle account, so that's going very well, and yeah, things are going well. It's about that time that I move on, it seems. Meaning, the room's almost finished, so you know what that means. It's probably getting close to that time to find another dwelling. So that's coming up soon. I can feel that. So, you know, I always love to put this down on, get some witnesses. So when I move, you know, whenever, that I can say, hey, see, I told you before it happened. Anyway, I'm going to kind of jump into this because I do have a day party that I'm supposed to go to. The rest of the evening is very like the day. Well, it's already 2, but yeah, I got to be able to get out of here for the rest until probably pretty late tonight. So, you know, by contract, I have to have it out by Monday. So here it is. And today I'm going to be speaking about specifically about my dreams. But first, going into what dreams are, I'm just going to specifically talk about how it is that my dreams are different, I guess. The gift that I've been given is a shaman, and one of the gifts that I was given. Paired up with The pattern recognition that I have, which is kind of like, I think my dyslexia, while that was a deficiency in some way, usually the body or the body, if you lose one of your senses, then the other ones are heightened. And it kind of worked this way, I'm assuming, for me, where the dyslexia was considered a deficiency of some sort, which is really not, but I won't get into that. But it kind of is, because the connection was the lifting of another thing, which is my pattern recognition. Now, as we all know, that's how I got in the military, and not that I wanted to go, but they, through my dyslexia, if you know the story, they got back to the military somehow. Well, we know how, but, and they wanted to recruit me for my pattern recognition, not my dyslexia, of course, but they wanted me to do code breaking. So it's that high on the charts, let's say. And that pattern recognition is something that has been a part of my life ever since I remember. I don't even remember not having it. And I'll have to explain that too a little bit about, now that I know that it's there and that it's not normal everyday people have, then I can start to, and over the years, I've been able to kind of step outside and look at how it looks, and look at it as if it's not normal. And I say that because, to explain it, I would have explained it like it was normal, and people then would not understand it because it's not normal, and they'd just look at you like, what the fuck? So I'm going to explain each part of it, and then you'll understand as I go through just a simple dream, why it's so important, that, my duties are done. And so, starting with the pattern recognition, is the first part of it all. And because that came before everything, that is kind of how I was put on this planet with this. At least I don't remember not thinking this way. So again, the cult's slogan being "Think differently." And that's because I do think differently. Okay, I see differently, I dream differently. And this is another one of the other reasons why, is the pattern recognition. And when I say this pattern recognition, I mean, you guys might see patterns in numbers or letters, or I don't know, whatever. You'll see a pattern. But what you don't know is this entire place, whatever they call it, Earth, this, whatever our existence is, it's all made of these two things. And that's waves and patterns. And the waves are patternistic. So you have, everything's a wave, be it a cosine wave or zine wave or sound wave, you name it, a light wave, you name it, everything is some sort of wave in this place. So, energy wave, we're all made of energy. So we tend to have this meat suit, or what I call a meat suit, but yeah, is your body. This body and mind has to, as they like to call it, the Trinity, I think the fucking Catholics call it. It's the three parts that make a whole. And it's kind of funny that it's three. Now, as we know about threes and the power of three, done the podcast on it. Not only is the power of three very powerful, but why is it three? Well, it just so happens that I know. And that is because three is what starts a pattern. It becomes a pattern upon the third time something happens. Now, the pattern works the same way that it works, meaning most people, including myself, usually, when they see the pattern hit for the first time, if they end up noticing it, that is what I call the wow now moment. For example, I'll use the 1111 phenomena. Okay, either you're 1111 or 1212. I'll speak about what I know, and therefore it's 1111. Now, when I say phenomena, it's a phenomenon. I like that word, but a phenomena. And it's that I speak about it like that because to others that don't understand what's happening or only surface know, that's what it is. Some people will call it synchronicity if they're a little more on the level. And then now this is how I explain it. It's the coming around of the pattern, and I've been messing with this for a while. Let's just say I first noticed my 1111 when I was 11, actually. And I spoke about that on my previous podcast, so I won't get too far into how it all came about. But to explain 1111 is real quick. Now, this phenomenon did not start until rather recently in the human existence. And that's when I say that, that's because no one noticed 1111 until the advent of digital clocks. Now think about that, people. Okay. Now, if you've ever had that 1111 moments, yeah, that didn't exist back in the day. Why? Because there were some digital clocks. You couldn't see a pattern of ones. One, 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 one. You couldn't see that on a hand clock. I mean, you could, but you wouldn't notice it, right? No one's looking at the hand clock and going, it's 1111. You wouldn't even be able to tell hardly. But in a digital clock, your recognition of that pattern or the one pattern of ones, there's three ones in a row, okay? That is pattern recognition. That is something that you pay attention to. That is something you remember. That is something the subconscious remembers. So that's pretty special in a way. So if you follow me here, 1111, when you look at the clock and it's 1111, maybe it's the first time you do it and you're like, wow, look at that. It's 111. It's 1111. Okay, hence why I call it the wow now moment. It is you going wow at the moment now of recognizing the pattern of which is 111. Wow now. Got it? So this phenomena happens twice a day. 1111 happens twice a day in our existence. Well, that's what the clock will tell you anyway. Now, even if you are not consciously thinking about that moment twice a day, you still sometimes will catch that 1 minute in 24 hours of a day. Somewhere within that 1 minute, you catch it. Not that you're even looking for it. But you look at the clock and there it is, 11:11. Okay, that happens twice a day in a 24-hour period. What are the odds that you would look at the clock at that time and then have it happen a few times or start to be so much that you're recognizing the pattern within the pattern if you recognize it? That's the cool part, right? That's the cool part, is because now you're not consciously thinking about it, and it's still happening, and you're still forced to notice it almost. Now, when I say forced, it's not a forced thing. It's a subconscious thing. And it even goes higher than that. Once you've, the subconscious is the mind, okay? It's the body gets to see what the subconscious points at. Okay, so the subconscious says, bam, that internal clock inside the body is, or however you want to say that, that clock is right on. It syncs up like a girl on a period. You got a couple girls on a period that live together. Okay, they're syncing up. It's the same thing with patterns. And if you, I use that example because it is a pattern, as is the once a month pattern of the period, so is the 11-11. Okay. And you do sync up with it. People sync up with it. That's why there are 11-11 people and there's 12-12 people. Are there 3-3-3-3 people? Yeah, but I don't know. That was never what caught my eye. And I'm a power of three people. You know, patterns are three. Why are they seeing a pattern within a pattern within a pattern happening in a pattern? Should be more prolific, but for me it wasn't. So I just talk about what I know. So anyway, these patternistic behaviors that you see in this everyday life, the subconscious picks it up and then alerts the, well, the body has to be alerted by the time. The body has this clock in it, you know, it's got, it knows how to tell time better than you can do it subconsciously to know what time it is. And if you don't believe me, then I'm telling you exactly how we know this to be true because of the phenomenon of 11-11. It's the subconscious telling the body to look at it. Now, that goes into a lot of different fucking weird things. If you're wondering, like I was back in the day, why the fuck does my subconscious give a shit about that pattern? And that's what really bakes your noodle, people. That's the really cool stuff when you figure that out. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Now, this might not be something that applies to you, but I can guarantee that it applies to you. You just don't know it yet. Okay? Because everything's patterns, and these patterns are there for a reason, and you're shown them for a reason. They are like bookmarks, or they are like warning signs of something's happening. Pay attention. Hello. Okay, because your subconscious is even telling you, you're not even consciously aware of it happening. So once your subconscious is involved, it's like me getting involved. Don't get me involved until you want the shit done, and don't bitch about how I do it. Because it's going to get done, it's going to get quick, and you might not like it. But I don't give a fuck. You waste, like, you got me involved this way, I do it, and I do it and fix it. Same thing that comes with this. Knowing is half the battle, says G.I. Joe. Knowing that it's happening, the wow now moment, knowing, that is only half the battle. Once you start to pay attention and think and test why this is happening, what is it? And even think that way, that you should do that, takes a different kind of person. When I saw 11-11, when I realized the subconscious is telling me to look at that for some reason, that means I'm involuntarily being forced, almost in a way, to recognize that pattern. Well, I don't like to be forced to do too much of anything. So, of course, I got pissy and looked into why this was and if I could change it. That's the first thing I do. Well, if you're going to force me to do it, see if I can make it so it doesn't have to happen. Well, it's not something that I cannot do because inherently it is universal. Well, at least here on this planet, I cannot change 11/11 wow now moment for everybody. I couldn't change or take away that phenomena. But could I do it for myself? I quickly realized that would be a bad idea. And why? Because this was the time that I was given a gift almost. This is one of those phenomena. This phenomena is one of the keys for you to be able to practice what it takes to actually change this universe and the way it works and the pattern that it's on. It goes in this cycle, it goes in this pattern. And that is the very first phenomena that I used as a tool to learn why it was, how it worked. And that was one of the first ones and something I used to trick the natural universe into changing that whole entire, as they call it, the what's ordained or what is to be, what was supposed to happen, didn't happen because I changed it. And that's pretty special because it is I mean, that was a tool to be able to make a hiccup in this matrix, this universe, whatever's controlling all of it, to give it these things. Well, it was like the glitch in the matrix because I was making the glitch. Now, that didn't mean that I understood it. Because I didn't, and I was actually kind of worried that it would have some blowback, whatever's in control of all this and overseeing it realizes that one of the programs knows that it knows that they're out there or whatever. But I don't truly understand exactly what that is, what that means. But I did kind of let them know that I could make a hiccup in it. And so I did so, and it's actually been a very good thing. The opposite happened. I thought I would be punished in a way for it, and the people around me. So, but actually, it's been the opposite. It's been good things happening. So that's a little bit about the pattern. So, to sum up real quick about the patterns. So the patterns, now you understand what I mean by the pattern, and subconscious tells the body like that has to be for a reason. Okay. Oh, why do you want to pay attention? How can you use this? Well, again, something I probably shouldn't be saying, but I don't care. Like I didn't get in trouble last time, so just keep going with it. And that is because you have a free tool to exercise the phenomena. And that means I took that phenomena and said, okay, well, now I have this subconscious ability to notice a pattern. And that pattern is, we're noticing right within a minute of when it comes around. Now, that verbiage coming around is the most important part. Recognizing patterns, one thing. Very helpful. Very cool. You don't want to play me in one of those Hadouken games or whatever to, find the words in the square boxes of letters. You're going to lose. But the pattern itself and noticing the pattern at the wow now moment is way too late. Yeah, you just started playing the game, okay? The game is just being revealed to you at that point. I'm way past that. Like, I started using that and found that's how I found out what the true power of the pattern is. Is not, well, first the pattern has to be shown, or you have to see it, or you have to recognize it. Okay. Now, this is where it comes a little tricky because the pattern comes around by the third time, on the third time that it hits. One is an anomaly, two is an even, makes the one ha like, and then there's going to be a third, and that's the power of the third one is after two, that there's a third one because the two just negated each other. So there has to be, if there was an anomaly and there's the second one to negate the first one, doesn't mean it's not there. It just negates it to zero, ontological math people. And then inherently, there's going to be a third one. After that second one, the pattern's going to come. 100% people. And I don't use that as a number. So, there is the real important part was which I started to test and to hone my skills in. And that was the true power of the patterns is not in the pattern itself and the noticing of it. No. While it's very powerful, it is not where the true power comes. And the true power comes in time. And we all know how much I hate time, except techno time, baby. And what I mean by the time is it's time, the pattern of time that gave us the phenomena of 11:11. Only through time do we see the patterns, which allows us to see this, right? So, in a good, sometimes it's good. For instance, I decided to figure out what happens if I move back in time. Now, I've told you all not to do that. If you ever get the chance to go forwards or backwards, don't go backwards in time because you might fuck your mother and you might make yourself non-existent in the future. But that's not what I talk about. What I'm speaking about here is subconsciously, you're being told then to physically look at this 11:11. Well, that wow now moment is what I call too late. You're just like everybody else. It's subconscious for the most part. You're forced to look at it. Well, that's kind of being like trained like a little sheep. You're just a bunch of sheeple, that kind of thing. Everybody is doing it, so that's nothing special. But what happens if you, this is what I said to myself, self, what happens if you pay attention to what happened right before the moment? That wow now moment. Yeah. So one day I saw the wow now moment and said, now pay attention to concentrate, stop, meditate, whatever you fucking want to do, but figure out what 5 minutes ago felt like. Take a certain point in time in the past, right before the wow now moment, concentrate on that moment. Absorb how it felt, what it smelt like, what it looked like, what it takes a little bit of practice, but we got time. So once that is done, and you got to forgive me, I was trying to go a different way with the recording of this podcast. I was trying to do it actually in the software that Anchor and Spotify have, but I found out rather quickly that I don't like that because it cuts it off at every 30 minutes, and then it has to process, and then it puts it up there, and it interrupts my flow. And so I don't like that very much. And so why I was trying it was because Audacity will record the whole thing and it's great, but then it becomes, if it's a real long one, I put it at such a high bit rate that it makes the file very large, and then the transfer of it has to be chopped up anyway sometimes. So I'll just do more editing on it, so just for sound wise. But anyway, to move on, we're now concentrating on the wow now moment, what happened 5 minutes before. And like I said, it takes a long time. It took me 2 years to get a hang of it. And I slowly started moving back and back and back and back from 5 minutes to 15 minutes to 20 minutes to a half hour to an hour to, okay, so now what does this quite mean? And I thought we were talking about dreams, but yeah, I have to explain these first. So now I'm paid attention and I know how it feels when the pattern is coming around. Meaning, I know before it happens because I know what it feels like. I know what it looks like. I recognize it. You see. And being a patternistic person, I had the freedom to do this to everything. Everything is patterns. So if I chose to pay attention to one of these patterns, I would first have to recognize the pattern of when it hit, right? The wow now moment. And then I could move back from there to absorb what it felt like or what it looked like or whatever before that. So much that your subconscious picks up, and now it's not involuntary because I voluntarily want it to happen and have to change it from when it normally happens. And so it's not so forced anymore because I control it before it actually everybody else sees it. So you can see the true power is not within when the wow now moment or when the pattern hits. The true power comes knowing when the pattern's coming around, knowing when it's going to hit, because there is actual time in between when it comes around. And this time is not on our time, it's on techno time, bitches. No, I mean, it could be a long time. It takes a month for a period to hit, okay? It's 30 days. That's a good amount of time. You have to wait for that to come around. Not that you're waiting for that, sometimes you are, but like that is something that is a good example of a 30-day cycle, 30-day pattern. Once the pattern's interrupted, that's when you worry or you rejoice, whatever. Like, it's when the patterns are interrupted that things can be noticed a lot more. Usually, I can't say usually in a negative or a positive way, but they're noticed a lot even more once they're recognized and then recognized as being interrupted. Meaning, the pattern of your period is every 30 days, but it's not until that moment that it is not there, the pattern is interrupted and you're not getting the period, that you start to pay attention, or you pay attention more, or it's more prolific. You got me? And that's the way it works. Recognition of patterns is one thing. Knowing when they're coming around is a whole different animal because Now you know beforehand, consciously, not subconsciously. So that can become very powerful. So, hence the, yes, that's why if you've ever said, hey, Cyrus, he's like he can read the future. It's not me reading the future, it's just me knowing when the patterns are going to hit. It seems like the future to you because I know before the pattern comes around. But it, so it seems that way, but truly it's just knowing when. Yeah. But so anyway, that's pattern, patternistic, interruption is pattern, subconscious, how it breaks up. Very good baseline of what I need you to know. Now we're moving into dreams because this is what this was all about, was this dream I had last night. Now, to explain dreams, I don't care if you believe this or not, believe it or not, because I don't believe in anything. It's a truth of which I take on by what is something that I have done. So if I want to take it as on as a truth, then it has to be proven to me. I don't have belief systems, I have truths. These truths are something that I have done, therefore I know. And I know until I don't know or until it changes. But until then it becomes my truths. Okay? These are the truths, and these are the truths that I live by until they're changed. And they can be changed. Every truth that I have is very capable, and I'm always ready for it to change because it can, because the new information is put into it. Somebody could change my mind in a split second. Like, no, most of you probably laugh at that statement, but I'm not as stubborn as you think I am. It's just I've done my homework a little more than you have. And that's because you come at me with something, and you better have a pretty good, like, understanding of what you're talking about, because if it's something that I have some kind of truth about, I've looked into it way past like five peels of the onion. And if you've only gone one or two down thinking about it, you're going to be sadly fucking mistaken about coming to talk to me about it, because either you're going to learn and you're going to have a great time, or you're going to be very pissy that, oh, it's very opinionated and he won't ever change his mind. No, you just didn't come with anything close to changing my mind. And believe it or not, this has happened on massive scale. Recently, even, like, comparatively, like, for example, dark and light, okay? Chicken and the egg. Now, for the longest time, I always, the dark one. Somebody asked me what came first, the chicken or the egg. The fucking egg came first, okay, people? No, it didn't. The chicken came first, or you couldn't have the egg. Egg didn't just pop out of nowhere, okay? I've seen it happen. Haven't seen it happen, the egg before the chicken, okay? So that's what my truth is. So my truth in something like somebody asking me what is it that came first, or the light or the darkness? And for the longest time, up until about 2 years ago, I'd be like the dark one. Darkness imprisoning me. I like to wear all black, blah, 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 blah. It's the most non-selfish color because it's all the colors combined. But it is the lack of light. And this is what it was all about. Did darkness come first, or the light? And my truth at that time was, well, of course the darkness. It's always been here. And yeah. So darkness first, then light. Well, that was good until it wasn't. And I was schooled on something that I took on as a truth, and that overbalanced, took over that truth. And this was 2 years ago, people, on something as big as, now I'm a black and white photographer. Okay, I understand what light and darkness is and shades of gray because that's all I shoot with. I manipulate that. And so I thought I knew what I was doing. But no, now my entire truth on what came first has changed. And why is that? I can do it, people. Like, and it's because through ontological mathematics, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, I learned and remembered that energy itself, which is in the existence of all life that we know, that as all the one. We are all from the one or from this energy source or whatever you want to call it. That is something that I know to be true. Okay. We all come from the same source energy. Okay. Big Bang blew up this big ball of source energy when we were all one and scattered these energy particles or parts, which some people call the soul or whatever, that we have inside of us. And then we were two. Now, we went from being one and then split up into a bunch of different pieces, and each one of those pieces need to find itself back to where it came from, back to the source energy. But it couldn't do it alone, or somebody intervened or something, and we got a vehicle or an avatar of some sort called the body, and the mind is, we will go into that later, but like now we have an avatar to get back because now we're on this. Before there was no confines of planet called Earth, we were all one energy, there was nothing, we were space in space, you know, energy, so there was no confines of this slavery planet type thing. Like we're free, really free, you know. Now when we Big Bang happened and this big source one particle energy all blew up, we needed a vehicle to get back to this source energy because we had somehow somebody put us here. And so we were given this avatar, this body. Think of it like a video game. And you're trying to Zelda or something, right? So you're trying to find something. And your avatar is you playing the video game. Well, that's how you're traversing this world, okay? Through your avatar. You need your avatar to traverse the world. But you're really holding this energy or this soul, whatever you want to call it. And that's what's holding it. And this body is taking it back to from which it came. And that thing is called life, people. And we're living this life to get back to where we came from. Why we look to the stars, people, is because we do want to go back home in a way. We do not feel that we belong here, so in a such a conscious, well, subconscious way that we don't even like to say that that's how we feel. But if any of you people take 2 seconds to start to realize that we don't belong here, we're the only things like we are on this planet, and it's definitely not like anything else, and not in a good way. We don't fit in on this planet whatsoever, and that's because while we grew up here and we evolved here as a human species. That doesn't mean we're from here originally. And so that we're always trying to find our way back home. And that's why you feel this draw. And everybody's, like, depending on your age, depending on time, things, you'll feel this draw to something that you don't know, be it organized religion. And I'm sorry if that happens, but yeah, sometimes that's the way it starts. But to a spiritual drawing or something, you. Yeah, esoteric, whatever it is, you feel this pull towards something. And this something is you getting in contact and getting in, feeling and in touch with this one source energy, and you feel the pull, the magnetism of it pulling you to where it's where you came from to get back to it. And then your whole worldview in your life is very slowly to traverse this world to get back to death. Basically, like it is through death that you return to from which your original form came. So, as the Egyptians say, you know, they put them in the burial tombs of which are the pyramids, and there's a, you know, this window in the pyramid, and what that allows is the light to come in and take the energy source, the soul, back to the stars from which it came. So it's as simple as that. That's what we are. That's what we're doing here. Who put us here is the real question. And for what reasons? I don't know quite so much. I know some things, but like, none of us know where we came from, really. And so, we know we were born to die, but while people think that that's negative when I say, but that's freedom, people, okay? We are forced to be on this planet. We never asked to be here, right? Our parents made us come, you know, literally and figuratively. Like so we're forced to be on this planet with a name of which we were given by somebody else to live our whole life, not knowing where we came from on this shitty-ass, like, a crazy world. It's really fucked up, and, like, we don't know why we're here, what we're doing, and we got to find all this shit out, and then we die, okay? That's how a lot of people think of it, and we're here on the planet to find our way back to where we came from, and we just so happen to need the human body to do it, and we have a time limit on when, how we can do that, because the body's going to die, and if you haven't gotten back to where you needed to be, then shit, you're lost. And that's what everybody is, you know. I am not a firm believer in past life. Well, past lives are a different thing, but this whole reincarnation thing is very different from what a lot of people think it is. And, but on the same lines, it's the same thing. You didn't find your way back to the source. And you just get into, you know, maybe you get another try. But why wouldn't you remember anything? If you're supposed to move forward and get further than you did before, then wouldn't it behoove you to have the knowledge of what happened before so you can improve on it and not, like, redo it all over again? Yeah, we're not going to get into all that, but giving you a basis on what I'm talking about, first of all. So now we're back to the energy, which energy is light, and everything's waves, and so light wave. The human body is simply a vessel, or a vessel, something that holds or contains these waves, okay? Simple as that, or a container of Zine Cosine waves. We can see color, we can see, hear sound waves, we can see the waves because they're oscillating in different frequencies. These frequencies cause our eyes to see color and our ears to hear sound and our bodies to feel stuff. So, so when I got my truth rearranged was through ontological math and knowing that the source, the one source, the source energy, the one that was broken up into a bunch, is energy. And guess what energy is, people? Energy is light. And through quantum mechanics, quantum physics, we've learned that energy can neither be made or torn apart or taken out. Can never not be made. It can't be made or destroyed. It always has been. And if it's always been there, then simply knowing that energy is light, that means darkness simply is where the light hasn't illuminated yet. So the darkness wasn't always there. It's just simply where the light hasn't been yet. Now, that might not make sense to you guys. It'd be like, well, it's still dark. No, it's not dark. It's just simply where the light is not. And I'm not going to get into how that probably doesn't make any sense to you, but it doesn't matter. We won't, because it is lack of light, and lack of light is darkness, but the dark, I won't get into it, but trust me, it made it overread something I had taken on as a truth for a long time. And if that happens, it's pretty, I mean, it has to be better than mine, which was. So I can change my mind very quickly. And that was after years of, yeah. So anyway, so this is something that I had to get across, because now we're going to be talking about a dream state and what dreams are, and then the power of dreams and what my dreams are comparatively to most. So first of all, we have to again tell you something that you don't want to believe in a way. About what dreams are. People have all kinds of different ideas about what dreams are. And people, I wish I could only have to tell you this once, but there's only one point in dreams. There's only one point in these dreams. And it's that one point is you, okay? So dreams are only dreams are a subconscious state or dream state, subconscious state that you go into, and that is your subconscious putting on a play, that's how I like to call it, for you to watch. And this play is all about fixing your problems that you haven't fixed in everyday reality. Now, let me explain this. You spend and use more of your brain during REM sleep than any other time, even while you're awake. And it's focused on one thing. So that's hard to even conceptualize, that you're, even when you are awake normally, that your brain isn't working. It's working less than it is when you're dreaming. And then in your dream, it's focused. Pinpoint laser focused. Unlike waking life, where it's scattered everywhere, it's multitasking at every point about all the things that it sees and hears and all this crap. Right? Not in the dream state. It has total control. It makes the landscape that it needs to, and it gives you the gives you what you need to see, but it is not what it appears to be. Most dreams are figuratively, not literal, but literally figuratively. And again, double speak, but it's tr what I mean by that is most of the time. There's different levels of dreaming, so to give way to that, each level is meanings of different things. Sometimes it can be more figurative than literal. It depends on what state you're at. You'll be able to differentiate the state of your dreams by what happens in them. Now, a lot of you think you know dreams and you don't know shit about them. Just because you read the dream book or, something like that, or you have no idea even what a dream is supposed to be doing. And if you want to, I think the best, by far, the best book I ever read, got the most out of, and really took me down the path that I needed to be to get to where I'm at, was the dream analysis that was done by Jung and Freud. Now, those two were on opposite ends of things, right? In a way, Freud very, well, not very, only one way. He didn't have a spiritual side to him. He was all scientific, blah, 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 blah. Okay? And I'll tell you this, that's why Freud's shit doesn't hold up anymore. Because he was only scientific. I mean, the whole I want to fuck your mother, like, that concept still holds true. But that will be as long as males are in the human existence. Okay, so that holds true. But a lot of that stuff started breaking down that Freud did, because it was scientific, and scientific is only the religion before organized religion. Like, before there was religion, there was science, and science was the first religion. Because if you look at science, it's only true until it's not. Or it was just what the best story was at the time. Hence how religion is, organized religion anyway. So, as you can see, they had to separate those two. But really, they're the same kind of thing. It's only true until it's not, So, you slowly find out more information, you realize that it's not true, and things are not really like that. And they're da 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 da. Scientific community, they change things, hopefully change them in the books, and they're taught for the new updated version. Yeah, religion doesn't do that. They try to stay to that same old story, which just makes bigger holes and bigger holes, and it becomes very diluted, and you find out very quickly, if you have a half a brain, that that shit's fucked and wrong. And but science, longer amount of time, like, no one's doing that study and then finding out on a large scale that it's not true either. Like, we don't even know what's not and what is true, and we just know what it is up to what we have the information for. Hence, just like me changing my mind until when I got new information, it changed my mind, my truths, and therefore my existence different now. Okay, now this same way. In the dream state, your brain is, your subconscious is focused on fixing the problems that you haven't fixed in normal reality. And it's trying to do it for you, so the problems get fixed. Now, this is represented in seven different levels of streaming and many different ways of portraying it. Okay, so your dream, you never remember getting into a dream, right? It takes about 45 minutes for the human body to go into REM sleep. So that's why you don't remember the beginning parts of your dream, because you're getting to that dream state, your sleep, and then your subconscious goes, once you go into REM sleep, then you start to dream. But before that, or into the introduction of it all, you're not going to be able to remember, because you can't remember in that time period, that whatever that time is between the subconscious taking it into the REM sleep to before, when the body goes to rest. You're not going to remember. It can't write to memory. It's not there, literally not there. So it can't write to memory. So you won't remember it. You're just suddenly in the middle of a dream, or what seems to be that way. You don't remember what happened, how it like preamble to get there. You're just suddenly there. Okay. Well, some of you probably don't even pay attention, that close attention to it. But that's what happens. You're just suddenly there, okay, in your dream. Now, depending on the level of the dream state that you're in, but for the most part, everything that you see in a dream is not what it appears to be, but it is. What I mean by that is when you see someone specifically in your dream, most of the time, on most of the levels, when you see that person, it is not supposed to be that person. You're not supposed to take it literally as that person. Now, like I said, depending on the level of dream state you're in, but most of the time it's not going to be. The dream's entire process, the entire purpose of a dream is to fix you. Okay? You can't do it in reality, it's fixing you subconsciously, it's doing it while you sleep. Okay, so this is what it's doing. So in this kind of state, it needs to be able to get your attention. To get somebody's attention, then you have to interrupt the pattern. It's a good way to start. Something out of the ordinary, maybe. That's a good way to do it. Or something that you recognize, which would make sense if you see another person in your dream, let's say a sister or brother. Well, you don't see yourself in the dream if you ever pay attention. Very rarely, if ever, will you ever see yourself in the dream. You're always there, but your body, you don't see your body usually. If you do, then we're talking on a different level, and you'll understand what I'm saying to be true, and you don't be trying to prove me wrong, because then you know what I'm saying. Because at that point, you're disassociated from yourself in your dream state, and you're a little higher on the rung than others, and then you're special, and then you know what I'm talking, trying to explain. So, just as we're all jumpers or flyers, we either fly or we jump in our dreams, leapers, if you will. Some people fly, some people leap. You never see your body unless you're special. And if you ever want to know if you're in a dream or not, the little test to do is try to turn the lights on. Try to see a digital clock. There's no phenomena of 11:11 inside a dream state. Because you cannot manipulate light in a dream state. Let me repeat that. You cannot manipulate light in a dream state. Even if you're lucid dreaming, while you can manipulate what happens within the dream, the situations within the dream, the outcomes of the dream in certain ways, you can't fuck with the lights. Can't fuck with the lights. Why? You got your fucking eyes shut for, first of all. You're not seeing with your eyes. You're seeing with your mind. Your subconscious. You're seeing with something totally different than your normal everyday existence, which you would normally see with your eyes. We see more clearly with our eyes shut. As anybody will tell you how vivid their dreams are. Well, you're not seeing that in your eye, with your eyes. You're seeing that with your mind's eye, with your mind. And it's more vivid than fucking real life. Yeah. You ever done DMT or even some dream states allow you to see colors you've never seen before in waking life? That's amazing when you're not even seeing. Well, it's not that amazing because we only see, our bodies have a, we only can see in the white light spectrum, so that's with our eyes. Our eyes only allow that. Our minds can see much, much more. So, hence dream state. Okay, it's focused on you, showing you, trying to fix the problems in waking life, in the subconscious state. What you're seeing in your dream state is for recognition of mirror image. Is like what I like to call it. You recognize somebody in your dream. The recognition of that person made up by the subconscious to get your attention, and hopefully you pay attention. But if you pay attention to what they are doing for the process of thinking that you should be paying attention to what they're doing, but for them or for anything else but you, is why you're not going to get anything out of the dreams. You see this happen. First, the dream, the subconscious wants to get your attention, so they put in front of you something that you recognize. Oh, there's my sister. That's my brother. That's my what a so and so. Now, in your subconscious REM state, you're being aware of something that's presented in front of you. Why? Because you recognize it. That's my sister. That's my brother. So instantly you recognize it, you're going to pay attention to it, right? So paying attention to it, what is it doing? Well, depending on what it is, and then you pay attention to what it does, because what it does, that is not really your sister there. While it appears to be, that is only to get your attention, not to be literally your sister. It's to get your attention, to get recognition of what it wants to show you. So then once you recognize it, then you pay attention, and then the play goes on. Okay, then whatever it's doing is figuratively related back to you. And that's where a lot of people get confused. Your dreams are not like mine. My dreams can be for other people, other people's dreams, actually. But your dreams are for you and only you. And it's your subconscious working on you, so you have to look at what it is that the dream is trying to show you, but remember that it's a direct reflection of you in other people. Make sense? Probably not. If your sister is running away from something, and you see this happen, you recognize it to be her, and then she's running. And what does that mean? Well, maybe it means you should be running. Maybe she knows something that you don't. But it's trying to fix you, so maybe that's you running, really. So turn around and see what you're running from. That's what people don't do. They just start running. Do as they do. And yeah, that's sheeple mentality. I want to figure out why I'm going to run because I don't like to run. So let me look behind me and, oh shit, that's a tiger. Like, let's run. Okay. But that's not a great example because in different levels of dreams, actually, the inner group of people in your life actually could represent those actual people. And I know this sounds kind of contradicting, but different levels of dream state will cause different actions to be had. So while these things don't always work out the best, because they are a little confusing in a way because of the double standard that comes along with it. Now, hopefully you guys can't hear these dings. That's one thing that's bad about the computer and doing it on a headset, is all my messages come in and go ding, 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 and I got people texting me, and I don't know if you can hear them or not, but hopefully not. Because then I text back, "Hey, don't text me, I'm recording." And then they text back, "Okay." I'm like, "Dumbasses, you made another ring. Like I said, don't text me. Don't text me, okay? I'm not going to text you no more." Anyway, hopefully you can't hear those. But because I'm going to leave them in. I'm not going to go and take them out. But yeah, I try my best not to have that interruption. But okay, so like I said, double standard, kind of in a way. Sometimes it is literal, sometimes it's figurative. That's something you guys have to figure out. That is not of which I'm talking about today specifically. We're talking about my dreams. But you have to have an understanding of what dreams are first. So you've got the patternistic dreams down to a little bit. Like, I'm not going to go heavy into the dreams because they're all individual for yourselves. So, I mean, I'm very good at reading dreams, but that's only because I understand what it is that they're showing you. But it only goes to a certain point where then it becomes like tarot card reading, you know. It is for the other person. I just know how to read. People know how to read them, but that doesn't make sense all the time, like fully. It doesn't make any sense except for to that person. I mean, you can guess about, like, you can guesstimate how that's going to turn out, which is, but it's for that person, not for us. We're just the readers of the signs. So now you got a little handle on the quick dream state and, patterns. So next step is, as a shaman, as a, and you know, it's, I hate using this word sometimes because it's been bastardized into something that almost doesn't even mean anything anymore. Everybody's calling themselves a shaman, it seems. But I studied for a year and a half in a tribe, which is actually the longest teaching tribe in the world. And that tribe, I studied medicine under the tutelage of this shaman. We had no spoken language, no phonetic alphabet. I could not talk to my teacher. And had to live in the rainforest for a year and a half in a loin cloth, and it was very different. And that's a long time to be in a place of that. But anyway, part of this was there's certain gifts that were given, certain things that were learned that were to be your tools to when you come back into the urban environment that translates over into the urban environment that you can actually use. There was so much that it wasn't useful because it doesn't translate over into this world or this urban environment that we live in. It doesn't. We don't live like tribal people anymore, which we really should. It would be a lot easier. This was one of the gifts that was given and taught. Now it is a duty, as I call it, or I am tasked with it. It's something that I must do. And what this is my dreams are not always my dreams. Okay? Sometimes my dreams are not for me. Where you guys' dreams are for you. Okay? Very rarely do you get it to a point where there's different kinds of people, different levels of people, and what they're involved in that can be in different levels of dream states. Us being as a shaman in one of them because we traverse these worlds and or existence or whatever dimensions you want to call it, however you want to call it. But I do have dreams for myself where my subconscious is fixing the problem. But then I also have these dreams that are not for me. Now, do I know when these happen? Absolutely, I know when they're not for me. And my duty is to make sure that that information gets to that person, whoever it might be. And how do I know? Well, because I recognize people. If I have a dream like I did last night, the dream was full of people that I did not know. The only person that was in the dream that I did know, that's who I is dream it is, or at least the message has to be given to them. It's pretty simple, the concept, if you think about it. The only person that I recognize in the dream is the person that I need to tell. That is my job, that is my duty, that is what I'm tasked with, to pass this information along for whatever reason. Now, this can become quite weird. There's lots of caveats that enter that realm because depending on what my dream is, let's say I meet somebody for the first time at a club or a picnic or whatever, and they're from a different state or a different country or whatever. And my interaction with those persons that day lead into me falling asleep and that night and having a dream. And if they're in that dream and they're the only ones I recognize, then I've got to hunt those people down. That's my duty. I have to get that information to them somehow. Now it's a lot easier because we have social media and texting and phones that, you know, don't. So it's easy to find somebody. Before, it's very hard to find somebody. You had to go look, and you couldn't just sit at your home and hack them on the computer, you know. It's easy to find anything about anybody now. I can just type it in and hack this database or whatever. I got access to everything I need. It makes it a lot easier. The tools are there. You know, the skills are there. But I'm going to give you an example. I, of course, won't use any names. Those of which, or that person of which, already knows. I already wrote it out and sent it to them. So I don't feel bad about saying it out loud. No one's going to know who it is, except for that person, and I've already spoken or written it to that person. But this is what these experiences are for, so I can then pass them along for understanding for you. So, last night I had this dream. Now, the night started off at a friend's who was having a birthday party for somebody. And there's a group there. And we all, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then we went out to the bar. Went to see our friends play. And, like, we went out to Smart Bar and saw some techno. However, one of the people that were there at the party, the birthday party, is somebody that I met a couple years back in Detroit. And it was kind of crazy. Like, we met because of the dancing. And man, this girl could throw down. She was, I mean, straight up, like, she's an old school break dancer. And I fall in love with that kind of stuff, you know. You don't get to see it very much anymore. And being someone that does it myself in a different form, my liquid, too aggressive liquid dancing is now it's dubbed. When I see a different form of, like, what she was doing, it's amazing. Like, you instantly have something in common. And it's such a dying breed of people that dance like that anymore. So we had gotten to talking and whatnot. And yeah, she always stayed kind of in the back of my mind. And then many years later, I ran into this person in Chicago. They live here. And I had moved from Detroit to here. So anyway, that was about the second time we hung out was the time I ended up seeing this person. And last night was where the pattern hit. Now, I wasn't aware that the pattern was hitting at the time of the party, the birthday party up to Spy Bar or Smart Bar. I didn't realize that that was the third time. I didn't realize the pattern had hit. And so the night went, and it was a good night with her. We talked a lot. It was a good time. It's pretty intense at times. And it wasn't until I woke up from last night's passyouty that I realized that it was the pattern that hit, because this dream, though, she was the only one in it that I recognized. And that kind of sucks, because now, to me, I've gotten past that whole embarrassment of it all. Because if you can imagine that some of these dreams that I don't have control of could get out of control, like, and then you have to go, thank God it's not a total stranger, because they would just probably think you're crazy, crazy stalker person or something. But so, example of this, what happened last night was the dream led into a slightly sexual dream. I mean, it wasn't like monkey butt loving sex or anything. It wasn't sex, but there were sexual aspects to it between myself and this person. And of course, I don't like why that was part of it, and probably the underlying, like, that tended to take the front part of it, but there was lots of underlying stuff. So, and it's that stuff is something that we both have in common and we're familiar with. And so there's those parts are most likely the parts that need to be paid attention to. But that doesn't mean that I know what is important and what is not to that dream, because it wasn't really, as I say, it's not for me. So when I pass this information along, I can't put bias on it or put my assumptions or my anything on it. I have to tell it as much as I can to what it was, with as much detail as I can, getting through writing. People just stop reading after a while. Take an hour to preamble what I'm about to say to somebody when it could be depicted pretty weird. Like, this, some girl I had met three times, and suddenly I'm telling her about it. Almost sex dream that we had, and like, that could be weird. I could see how that people would be like, whoa. So you have to explain what you're about to say. So this is what I mean. Sometimes it could get like, imagine that if that would be you and you'd have to do that. I in the beginning was very embarrassed. When I had to do like start this, not now. Now I'm, it's not embarrassing at all anymore. But the first couple times I had to do it, it was kind of embarrassing, because people think you're some kind of freak, or like, it could be a little weird. let's just say. And I understood that, and I had to get that over that because whatever, I mean, they eventually are going to find out what it was all about. And that wow now moment of when they do is why I take the hour to preamble what I say about the dream that I'm telling them about. Because, again, I've told them before it happens. Because whatever's happening in this dream that I end up speaking about, most likely, most of the time, is not something that's happened already. Sometimes it can be. It's happened like that before. But most of the time, it is something that they will recognize in the future. Now, pay attention to those words really quickly. Something that they recognize in the future. I didn't say what happens in the future. I said what they recognize in the future. Big difference. Now, we have all the parts that I've told you about patterns, about dreams, what they are, how they are, how I can have, when I have information for other people. Now, get this. That dream, me telling them what happened in the dream, I then allow them to ask questions because I can't, I'm not too detailed because I've already preambled for fucking 8 pages that, try to explain it to it, but I have to explain all parts of it, kind of like I'm doing with you. Imagine writing this all in a text and having to do it a little quicker. But now they get this information and they can think about whatever. Oh, he's a freak and needs it, whatever. But I always say at the end of me telling them this is, hey, look, there's going to be a moment where whatever is described here, you're going to recognize that. You're going to remember it. Something is going to happen and you are going to remember my words. You're going to remember what I told you. And that remembrance, that you remembering it or having, feeling a sense of it happened before, yeah, that's, it's coming around, people. That means the pattern is going to hit. Why? Because it's the third time. I telling you knowing that it feels familiar, because maybe it happened and you just don't know, and then I tell you about it, which is either brand new or it's going to feel very familiar and you don't know why. But when it actually happens in reality, it's going to, that when it actually happens, it will be the wow now moment, and that's too late. Then you just go, damn it, he was right again. I know. But if you pay attention to what happens right before that, that's when you have that feeling. That feeling comes before the wow now moment. That feeling comes when you're deja vu. It's happening, but you can feel it. And you're not, your brain doesn't put it together. Is it actually been there yet? So it's the feeling, as I talked about before. If you move back before the wow now moment, 5, 10 minutes, absorb what's happening, feel it. That's why, because you're going to recognize that feeling that happens before the wow now moment. That is knowing when the pattern comes around. And remember, that's the powerful stuff. So, it's a gift you get. Lucky you. You might not have to fucking pass it along, but it's not so bad about giving that gift. In the beginning, it's kind of weird because they might even think of you as a weirdo. Now, talk. But I guarantee, when that shit comes around, they think differently about it. And then I get a call and it's, you're right. Sorry. Thank you. I know. And so it goes. So that was dreams. That was in my dream last night. No more details for you because it doesn't matter. It's not far, y'all. But it gives me something to so that was what I was going to do. I knew at that moment that's what I needed to do the podcast on because I knew I needed to do it, but I didn't know what to do it on. I even tried to force it and buy things I'm interested in, get on the internet, do some things to make it happen. It doesn't happen like that. I don't know why I continue to think it is, but I'm very impatient, so I had to wait until it happened, and it happened, and there you go, guys. I'm Osiris, and until next time, dream a little dream.